Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us this morning and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let your imagination stretch back with me this morning 3,000 years to the Temple of Solomon. A wild red-plumed rooster crows from the temple wall as a middle-aged priest swathed in linen marches across the courtyard. Ahead waits a man with a yearling bull standing beside the line of washtubs. A man's Adam's apple bobs, a burnt offering, all for God. A joyful tear zigzags down the man's weathered cheek. A burnt offering, all for God. I love him. I give my whole life to him. The man places his hands on the bull's head. The bull is now his prayer, his own life drawing near to the holy. And then with a swift stroke of a sharp blade, he opens the animal's neck, and the priest catches the streaming red in a bronze bowl. And with practiced ease, the priest carries the man's prayer to the great altar. He sprinkles and splashes the blood across its expanse. And meanwhile, his brother priest's nimble fingers carve the remaining bits of the animal into ritual portions. Their knife work done, they bring these remaining strophes of the prayer to the celebrant. And the priest's calloused hands stack the butchered animal in an ordered mountain of meat, muscles, fat, and entrails. Above the sacred fire, that prayer hisses and pops. The intercession ascends to heaven, a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And the priest smiles, for this is his work, to bring other people's prayers to God, to bring their prayers before God, to pray when they cannot pray. And in this way, he seeks peace and pursues it, communion between God and humanity. In this way, the priest blesses the world. Now, sisters and brothers, if you were asked to identify yourself with one of the two characters in the story I just told, which one would you identify with? I think most of us would pick the man with the zigzagging tear and the yearling bull. We all bring our bulls, we bring our prayers to God, and our priest offers them on the altar. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. And there's an element of truth in that identification. We do come to church with our prayers and our whole selves. We do have priests who represent us and our prayers at the altar, and we do receive a blessing. And yet, we often stop there in our identification, content with our own salvation. God has heard my prayer. I have received a blessing. But this morning in our epistle reading, St. Peter sees things in a different light. He sees Jesus standing at the altar, swathed in linen, sprinkling his blood on the altar and across its expanse. Jesus praying for the world, interceding on behalf of the world. Jesus brings our prayers to God. He seeks peace and pursues it between God and humanity. But as he offers his intercession, as he offers these prayers on behalf of others, something happens. The holy God-man pulls us into himself. He makes us all Israelite priests standing before a smoking altar, a people who offer prayers on behalf of other people, a people who bless others. A chapter before our epistle reading, St. Peter writes, "You are a holy priesthood. You are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ." And a few verses later, to just hammer home the point, he reiterates it. "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Jesus makes you priests, says St. Peter. You participate in his sacrifice on behalf of the world. Even now he prays the world's prayers at the altar, and so you are with him in the midst of the eye-watering smoke. You offer other people's prayers on the altar. Yes, you have your own blessing, you have your own salvation, but because of that salvation, that because of that blessing, Jesus makes you priests to bless the world. And so in our epistle reading, St. Peter takes all of what he said and he begins to explain how Jesus' priesthood plays itself out in our lives. We become those who bless, not curse, those who make peace, those whom God listens to as we offer up the prayers of the world. "Finally," writes St. Peter, "all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart and a humble mind," all priestly activities. "Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. For, and then here he quotes the psalmist, "He that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." At the altar, Jesus blesses those who revile. He prays on behalf of the world. He prays on behalf of us. He seeks peace between God and man and pursues it. And he calls you into his priest work of blessing. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means in our morning and evening prayer that we say. This is what it means to come to Holy Communion. It's not just about our blessing, our salvation. It's about the salvation of the whole world. God has united us to Jesus, our high priest, and all of who he is. And so he calls us to intercede on behalf of the world. He calls us to offer sacrifices on behalf of others. He calls us to pray prayers that others cannot pray. The Roman Catholic theologian Larry Chapp puts it this way. He says, "Ours is a substitutionary vocation where our entire life becomes a liturgy of intercession for the others. A priest," says Chapp, "is an intermediary who prays and intercedes on behalf of the people. And the priesthood of all the baptized means that we are a people set apart for the express purpose of interceding for others. Therefore, this pattern of substitutionary intercession is not an ancillary element of our salvation. It's not an extra thing that gets sort of added on. Rather, its very essence." Sisters and brothers, Jesus makes you priests to bless others, to seek peace for others. This is why in our service, I pray the prayers with my back facing you. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but in our liturgy, I am a sacramental representative, a symbol of Jesus and his work at the altar. And so I lead you in your priestly work. You participate in all of the prayers that I pray with your shouts of amen. You shout amen, right? You participate in all that I pray there. Notice every time we are all facing together towards the east, notice that all of the wording is in the plural. We pray. Not I, Father Nevada, pray, but we pray. Because the Eucharist, Holy Communion, is about the work of the people, the priestly people of God, praying on behalf of the world. As baptized children of God, you are priests of God. Even in the Old Testament, in Solomon's temple, the man with the tear in his eye was a priest in his own way. For he too was a member of Israel, called the holy nation, the priestly nation, participating in the priest's actions, interceding not only for himself, but for the whole world. After all, he was the one who brought the bull. He was the one charged with killing it. These were not the priest's responsibility. These were the priestly people's responsibility as they participated and offered their prayers on behalf of the world. So this week, swathe yourself in linen and live into your priestly vocation. Jesus has called you to bless, even as he has blessed you. So bless. Find someone who cannot pray. Maybe they can't whisper a prayer because of the clutching pain within. Maybe they cannot shout with joy because they do not know God's name. Take their bull, carve it up, sprinkle its blood on the altar, stack it with your calloused hands. In Jesus, pray morning and evening prayer, perhaps on their behalf. Father, this is what they would pray if they could pray. Bless them in this way. Pray for them. Pray for them. This past week, I had the opportunity to do just that. A gentleman whose life has made him very reticent of church. And so I just have started praying, Lord, if he could pray, this is what he would pray. Jesus has made you all priests. So offer up that sacrifice and be the blessing, even as you have received the blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.